The leaves are falling on college campuses across America, which means that college football coaches are dropping too. The University of Florida this week fired its head coach, Ron Zook, apparently because he had only won 60% of his games. Sports writer Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal joins us now, as he does most Fridays. Stefan, I guess when a school is used to winning 80% of its games, 60% just doesn't cut it.
No, it does not. Florida's 4-3 this year after consecutive 8-5 seasons under Zook, and that is not what the alumni and fans in Gainesville are used to. But I think this firing is symptomatic of a lot of what's wrong with college football. The pressure on players, the pressure on coaches to win, the power of the people that support the system, the donation-making alumni, the fans. There was even a website, fireronzook.com, that was up and running before the guy had coached a game. The players are an afterthought in all of this. And in this case, they railed against the firing. They told their athletic director they completely disagreed with it. One player was quoted as saying, "It's not about the team. It's really about the damn boosters and the fans or whatever. We're just in the middle. We're trapped."
And now Florida apparently is thinking about rehiring its old coach, Steve Spurrier. Spurrier had left Florida to coach the Washington Redskins in the NFL, and that didn't go too well.
No, it did not. Spurrier was fired 2 seasons into a 5-year, $25 million deal. But the fact that he's being reconsidered shows the power of the boosters again. This is all about appeasing the fans. Zook will have the rest of his $450,000 a year contract bought out. Spurrier will get millions if he decides to come back. And Florida could actually take a stand, promote someone from within, which is what they did with Zook, or hire someone from outside the university who's not a big name and really take a stand against the runaway costs of hiring college football coaches. Of course, that will never happen.
Speaking of the college football money machine, the University of Michigan and Ohio State University this week backed away from a deal to sell naming rights to their annual rival. You understand this was a sweet deal.
It was. It would have been called the SBC Michigan Ohio State Classic. And the schools would have gotten
clunker of a name.
The schools would have gotten $530,000 over 2 years. The argument is that it would benefit all of the sports programs at these schools, especially in years when the football teams play fewer home games, and the home games in football are the biggest revenue generators on college campuses. But once the word climbed out of the athletic department, which cut the deal, up into the university's hierarchy, it got shot down. Michigan's president, Mary Sue Coleman, quashed the deal. She said it took commercialism too far. There were complaints from alumni and complaints from members of the boards of regents there. Good for her. This is a small blow against commercialism in college sports. On the other hand, it's a little bit just moving the goalposts here. It's okay to have Nike swooshes on uniforms, but not to sell naming rights to something as nebulous as one game, which would have amounted to some scoreboard signs and the hope that newspapers will print the name of the game in the paper.
Well, Stefan, let's talk a little bit about the action on the field, and I guess we should give a shout-out to those Utes. The University of Utah, not a traditional football power, is ranked 6th in the country in a poll that will decide who gets to play in the big money bowl games.
Yeah, and this promises to be this year's controversy. Utah is unbeaten. They're 7-0, but they play in the Mountain West Conference, which is not one of the 6 big conferences that are part of an alliance that automatically qualifies teams for the 4 big bowl games, the Rose, the Sugar, the Orange, and the Fiesta Bowl. No team from outside of those conferences has ever crashed the party, which will be worth about $14 million per participating school this year.
So could Utah become the first school to do this?
Well, I think it's a big maybe. Even if they win their last 4 games and finish the season unbeaten, the ranking might not do it. First, they have to qualify by finishing in the top 6 in this poll, which is where they are right now. But the rankings include these computer polls, and the computers weigh the strength of a team's schedule as part of their factor. And as the season wears on, Utah, which plays weaker teams than the big schools, is going to see its strength of schedule ranking fall lower and lower, and that may drop them out of automatic qualification for this big bowl.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks, Michelle.
Wall Street Journal sports reporter Stefan Fatsis. He joins us most Fridays to talk about sports and the business of sports.